page, the first one again, chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he is in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath for us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And every one that loveth him that begetteth loveth him also that is begotten of him. For this we know, that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, these three are one. And there are three that beareth witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God has given of his Son. And this is the record that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for him that sins not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I say not that ye shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ, which is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. I didn't know how to approach this. I was sitting there, and I'm still on the fence. And I noticed that your brother McBride was very brief. And I thought, that was good. For him. And then I noticed that our brother Cain was very long. And I wondered just what I would do. I noticed if you were short, you were on the grill a bit longer. And I noticed if you were long, you supplied material for folk to fire. And then I waited in vain. I waited with expectation for the expert. And I noticed that he dropped two verses off at the end. So I wondered if I could maybe stop at verse 10 or something. And save myself a lot of heartache. Now, to become serious, when you remember I'm needing help, please. I wouldn't like to say that I'm going to give you an outline. That would hardly be just then. I'm going to say a few words in the chapter. To start the reading, and then I'll sit down in the chair that we thought last night was in an electric chair, and hey, sudden death would often be a happier state than prolonged agony. Mr. Maxwell suggested I could take us through this, but really I've enough bother. It's not important anymore. We look at verse 15. It says that whosoever confesseth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now, brethren, I think this is more than belief. I think it's the person that broke beyond all the doubts, all the harassment, and with inwrought conviction, declares that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I hope you agree. I'm going to agree with it on some things, but I think I'm right. The dwelling, I think we've noticed that the indwelling is not the compensation. The indwelling is the reason why the confession. Now, it's not always in that way. When I go to the Gospels, it's not true that. You remember, the man that keeps the words and keeps the commandments, the Lord says, we will make our abode in him. And it seems to me that the Spirit and John is giving compensation for obedience. That is that closeness of fellowship, that joy of communion, that not only keeps the commandments, but keeps the very word of Christ. Verse 16, we appropriate not only God's love, but we come to know the fact that the person himself is in his character love. Now, it's good just to make that wee distinction. Love is not what God does. Love is what God does. God can no more help love than the Son can help ship. God is. To get at the heart of the matter, get at the God way has loved and out of lavish love, let's just say, has provided so much for us. Good to see, as we were thinking about David in the valley, working with it, isn't it? But lovely to see Jonathan so met to the person. He did. 17 to 18, love perfected is expressed and abiding in that love and abiding in him who has loved us. That love is perfected and it's expressed in boldness in the day of judgment. It's expressed in an absence of fear. And verse number 18. Now, don't get excited. I'm not going to do it verse by verse. And Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, where the judgment seat is sighted. The next verse says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Verses 19, divine love is expressed not only to us, but through us. I think we'll see that. Divine love. Divine life. The life of love is expressed not only to us, but through us. Our love is expressed not only to him, but should be expressed, must be expressed, if we're born again, to everyone whom he has begotten. I think that's the simple explanation of these verses before us. We cannot love God alone. The word also is delightful, isn't it? I must quote my friend Willie Two again. He says that the Lord has made his people the receiver of his dues. I'm looking into faces, and I'm sure if I went from seat to seat, you would say, I'll do anything for the Lord. But do you know what the Lord said to you? Do it for the person next to you. I think that is summarized. Brother Ross. There are three tests in the chapter. The next chapter. You needn't write it down because you've been highlighting it every week. Three tests. The test of loving. The test of believing. The test of faith. The test of confession. I think you get that. And these verses in the opening of this chapter. Love. Loving what and who is before, doesn't it? Obedience expressed in keeping his commandments. I hope we've got that. And believing, holding on to it. And that belief, that conviction, not simply held, but holding us, moves us to undauntingly confess. Truly confess. Confess with deep conviction. Regarding the person of the Lord Jesus. These are proofs, I would suggest, that we are born of God. I think that would agree with what has already been said. These are proofs. These are results of being born of God. We don't get born of God through these things. These prove that the work has been done, that we are genuinely his children. And those who do not believe, those who have not faith, those who hate, those who don't keep the commandments of disobedience, are proof to be that they are not the genuine child. There are three witnesses. They're all mischievous ears. But I'd be allowed to say that. That I take the place for most of us. Just such as that. Now, I know this is going to take. that before I came over, just the moment before the time, I got three fairly lengthy documents and a letter from the south of England to prove that verse 7 should be there. The man that sent the letter claims to have 2 years of age, seems to think that he's graduated as a doctor, and that he was making sure the tapes would be sent to see what's going to be said in this. I felt I was being followed. Well, it's recorded, I believe, that there's such. Well, for some reason, I don't see the need of witnesses in heaven. But I do see the need of witnesses in earth. And these witnesses, is the spirit, the water, and the blood. Now, I perhaps shouldn't say anything, because I'm going to be too long. But then we should leave that in the minister. We know what are likely to say this. But really, I'll be truly said the others. You know, I don't think ever I've been at readings where there was more point of view discussed. Definitely. I don't think I've been at a meeting in Ireland that there was such a warmth and a content spirit. That's really an amazing thing. Especially among Irish people. That's an amazing thing. There've been a variety of expressions. I don't think there have been a verse that would have been. And I looked at books, you know. Everybody looks at books. Some of them are on their own, but everybody. And I was like old Hughie McFarlane, a word with a button. He said, you know, I usually find that the bit I'm scratching my head, one of it with me, the writer of the book scratches his head at the same bit. And that's what I found. Now, would we meet? Some have coupled it with the cross, redemption, cleansing. And some have coupled it with the baptism, and the death of Christ, and the Spirit. Well, we'll leave it at that. There's one thing sure, that these three witnesses are one. Three separate witnesses, but one voice. I think 13 is the purpose of writing. I think 14 to 15 I'm rushing through. If you have confidence in prayer. That brings what is, I think, rightly described. The hardest lesson. I don't know whether Irishmen didn't want to take this or not. Or a Scotchman who has been set up for execution. But without doubt, the praying, the asking and praying, has created a great lot of difference. Genuine. I'm not thinking of whole time. Firstly, some folk like a corkscrew, you know. I think they were born with a twist. I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking of folk genuinely wanting to get an answer. Well, I've never read a one-two writer that I've read. And we've discussed it with others, and my, you think you know a wee bit before you start and you finish it. You're at sea. Now, should I leave that for discussion? Or will I give you 3 weeks before I say it? So that you can be masking in your mind. Not your attack, but how to help. Some have thought, the praying, the asking, is for the sinner, the head of the life. Some have thought that they may have life. Some have thought. And coupled with that, not praying for the other, the sinner to death, is the apostle. And its second death is in you. That's one. A second has thought that both are brethren, that they're making a difference All sin is serious, but there's a difference in one kind of sin and another kind of sin. We forget that in the law, couldn't we? Every sin didn't carry the penalty of death. Every sin didn't carry the penalty of death. But you see, every one of us, because the first one, it says, your brother, your son, so that is a problem. I'm giving you my problem, because I want you to solve it. And the second creates a difficulty in knowing puts a son to death. And how do you pay for that? That is the fourth puts a son to death. Now, will we leave these two there? Now there's a third one, and I want you to listen. When I had difficulties some time ago, I would go to John Douglas, Willie Gough, Willie True would be in the district, 500, you'll notice we're all first names. See, I come from a land where we don't call Mr. The old man at Aberdeen, at Peterhead, he says, all the Mr.'s right at the cross. I know that you've been for that here. And I don't know much about English, but I feel it's a contradiction in terms for a man to the cross rather than a school. You hug them with a one word and you push them away with a word. Even Peter the fisherman dared to call that giant of a man of intellect. The man just realized that. Nothing in life is here. A nearness of words. Well, we're going to tell you, in case you don't agree, and then you'll blame him. But I put it to two brethren, and they did a bit of research. And this is what they come up with. The Greek word, you listen. You didn't think I knew it. You know, John Brown the Carpenter said he was going to give the Hebrew for the next one. Bethesda, which in the Hebrew means sin. They discovered, and I discovered, Little and Scott said that this word was the flesh to interrogate. This word, pray him for. You see, it's not the same word. They didn't say, they ask for one and then not ask for the other. They didn't say it. It's a different word, entirely. To question God about a matter. Now, don't draw your pistol too quick. Listen. I saw somebody read American book, the Red Publisher, you know, found a page for it. The Heat of Greek. And he says that it means to ask for information. And Kittle, the dictionary, it says to seek for information, and he says the root could be to put question and to inquire into. Oh, young Lincoln, building on that principle, said that the word really could be suggested to inquire into. Stott is the man that supplied the first one. W. E. Bryan is the man that supplied the second one. Roman Hunter is the man that supplied the first one. Now, it's not me today, and I would suggest if you don't agree with them, wait till you get to the glory and tackle them. But I think when we get a lot of these things we argue about here, no idea of it. We'll be engaged with things that's fascinating. That's all I'm going to say. And you'll be okay in the other life. Okay.
All of acquiesce and taking it upon the first verse of verse 16. The person who denies of Jesus is Christ.
I was relieved yesterday when the brother, Sid Maxwell, said that the Son of God's side was not Palmer. It was mostly the Incarnation. I was glad he said it wasn't prominent. There was a lady who got saved, and she said that she was glad that the Bible didn't say not any, but not many. Here, the Son of God is being in position. We're inclined to the things into compartments. Mark opens the Gospel by saying the Gospel of the Son of God. The servant Gospel. Luke says that which would have brought him, we should have called the Son. Son of the Highest. John says the Word that was ever was became flesh. And there's an overlapping that's delightful for our education, and thanks for the contribution.
The evidence of abiding in God is not a theological expression or something mystical, but it's simply the evidence of which is incontrovertible. The first note would be, hereby we know, on verse 13, where you have drawn to the fact that within us we have the Spirit of God. In this case, it would be experience. And now you come to that second outward note, that is the confession of his deity, and that will be evident as well. And then the third thing that will bring the proof is the evidence of the love of God. That God is actually a pilot within us is the evidence, is it?
I think I stated that. Let me, not as clearly as that, but I did state that. That it's not the compensation of sin, to put it that way, but it's the spring from which the confession comes. I suppose we would agree that the false prophets were the mouthpiece of the spirit of error. And this confession is the outcome of prophets, if you like, or saints, that state these things because of the indwelling of the Spirit of truth. The Spirit must have a vehicle through which either evil or good to express these things.
Both the confession of his humanity at verse 2 that our brother Nesbitt has referred to and the confession of his deity are both linked with the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the confession really follows experimental knowledge. That point you already have stressed.
Mm-hmm.
That this is the experimental knowledge of all that we have known by the power of the Holy Spirit. We confess the humanity.
Mm-hmm.
We live it in our lives and we confess the deity of Christ, and it's the Holy Spirit that has produced this.
Did everybody agree that this is really a bit advancement on believing? It's the result of an inward wrought conviction. All doubt has been removed. There is no hesitation. There is no darkness, no confusion. There's no fear nor timidity. The confession is bold and clear because of the indwelling of the Spirit forming deep-rooted convictions. Andrew Borland said, we argue about our opinions, but we die for our convictions. This is a conviction. It's not simply a belief. It goes further than that. It's a public, deliberate, bold declaration of a fight.
Not the fact that these are the very truths that have been assailed in John's day, and the genuine believer has come out on the side of truth and on the side of Christ.
Thanks very much. That's exactly what's in my mind.
I thought as well, Brother Peyton, that it was in striking contrast to the spirit of error and those that were associated with characteristic of Antichrist and those that were characteristic of the Spirit of God, that Jesus as the Son of God was absolutely necessary to the value of his propitiatory work at Calvary.
The value of the person gives dignity to the work. The dignity of the person gives value to the work. There's a clear declaration. I'm thinking in words of John the Baptist. He said, and denied not. That's lovely. He said, it was right enough to say. There was something sweet about it. He said and denied not. The Hebrew servant, if he shall say clearly, Timothy, the Spirit speaketh expressly. That is the Spirit within. There's no, I worked with in the farm when I was a conscience objector, and I worked with an Irishman. And the farmer used to leave with orders that would have done you for a month, and he was only away for a day. And Willie, the labourer, looked at the farmer one day and says, "Them farmers always speak through the side of their mouth, in case you understand what they say." But the Hebrew servant, if he shall say clearly, Timothy, the Spirit speaketh expressly. That is the Spirit within. There's no... I worked with in the farm when I was a conscience objector, and I worked with an Irishman. And the farmer used to leave with orders that would have done you for a month, and he was going away for a day. And Willie, the labourer, looked at the farmer one day and says, "Them farmers always speak through the side of their mouth, in case you understand what they say." But that's not here. There's a clear confession, a bold confession, an inward conviction that Jesus as the Son of God. That's it now. And it's a link with verse 2, I think, Brother Allen has given it, that confession that Jesus has come in the flesh. And that really is a good thing, isn't it? Not come into the flesh. You see the beauty of that. But come in the flesh, a man, through him. Not to tenant a body. Not to come upon some. Not to make use of somebody that was already there. But really, come in the flesh. There's a real lovely touch I'll share with you before we leave, nothing to do with it. But I was looking at the Greek. Now that's amazing, isn't it? And I was thinking in that word, Jesus Christ, Jesus of whom he was born. In the beginning, we're thinking of his true humanity. We're thinking of his sinless humanity. We're thinking of the glory of the Virgin birth. We're thinking of a man that was more than a man. That's in my mind. And I discovered that that word "whom" was feminine. And I asked Greek students, of course, to check it. And they told me it was feminine and it was singular. To the exclusion of Joseph and the inclusion of Mary. So that he came in the flesh, but no likas, no even innocent like Adam, but whole. Adam was innocent and could sin and did sin. Christ was whole and did not sin and could not sin. So I hope you know the head to that in this day. Demons said this. You know the film they are, didn't they? God isn't going from the lips of enemies. Truth. We get benefits from friends, but God wrung from enemies. Confessions that magnify the person of Christ. Demons did it. Disciples did it. The centurion did it.
Brother Peyton, is this something further in the statement of the verse that we're considering? In verse 15, God dwelleth or abideth in him, and he in God. We understand Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then in this epistle, particularly the Spirit of God indwelling. And now we have God in the believer. So that you could safely say the believer in many aspects is indwelt by the divine person.
Mm-hmm. And yet, I suppose in reality, the Spirit of God makes that person.
Yes, I would think so.
Aye, that's right. It's through the indwelling of the Spirit that these things can be said. This would involve eternal relationship, wouldn't it? Well, you've got a chance now then. Glorify me with the glory which thou had with me before the world was. That was the glory of the Son, wasn't it? Whom he appointed heir of all things, both by the Son, then to be appointed heir of all things, and a far-flung tenor, isn't it? He was anointed that, and he made the worlds, and they came into being. I came from the Father, and I'm coming to the world. Nobody would deny that, sis. I've never met a man that denied that. Listen to the second bit. I leave the world and go to the Father. That's equally true. The parable of servants. He said servants, you remember. And then he sent a son. Who would argue that these servants isn't servants before they were sent? So if they're servants before they were sent, he's a son before he was sent. He didn't become a son after he was sent.
That's
good.
Sorry.
Back in chapter 1, verse 2, the life, the eternal, was with the Father. That's good. Thou art my Son, this day I have I begotten thee. Not this day have I begotten thee, thou art my Son. No, no. Thou art my Son, an eternal relationship. This day have I begotten thee, that relationship known in another sphere. That's what it's put. That's good. Now, he wasn't only that, but he was only begotten Son.
Is the distinction, Brother Peyton, between John's Gospel and what we're dealing with here now? In John's Gospel, the emphasis is upon his deity. But in John's Epistle, because of the background of error, the man who walked the shores of time was that same person in humanity. Isn't that the emphasis?
Well, that is the emphasis. To combat the error, the prevailing error, that perhaps we know little about it today.
So that really, in essence, John in his epistle is not really developing the eternal sonship as he is showing us the perfect unity between his humanity and his sonship.
Mm-hmm. The same person?
Yes.
Oh, I believe that. But I think Brother Kang was thinking, and young folk getting the glorious fact that he was the Son eternal, and he was the only begotten Son. That area is different. The streets of heaven will be populated with saints. But there will be one distinct from every other one. He'll be praised and we'll be the praisers for eternity. Only one like him. Only one like him. And he's the first begotten Christ. Not before, but above. Is the idea. No, we'll never leave it there. Well, I wouldn't mind you going on if we missed some of these verses further. believe that they will meet this increasingly. I believe that. But I think what's in Brother Maxwell's mind is that John was really stressing that more than the eternal sin, because that really was the error that was being propagated.
Going to verse 16?
Yes, oh surely.
Here,
we need more in summer.
Yeah. Here, we can see that we know and have belief. That is, that here the knowledge is stressed before the believing.
Luther says, we believe and are sure.
Yes.
It's opposite.
Yes. And I think of Hebrews, by faith we understand.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews chapter 1. Faith enables us to understand. We don't understand to believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's by faith we understand even the very simplicity of creation. They're happy with that. Right? We can't explain it, but by faith we understand it. Here, you can see that faith must receive knowledge. But we know and have belief. It's the opposite order here.
This is the personal acceptance of the truth, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
It's in that way that belief, that knowing comes before believing.
Yes.
Springing from experience, progressive experience.
Exactly.
Continual experience.
And knowing is before the belief.
Knowing is before the belief. Well, no, I don't think that's, we're not weakening the, we're simply saying that it's not simply a fact known, but it's an experience and joy, if I could put it that way. This knowledge is through personal relationship with the person that's known, and the person that is doing the knowing, isn't it? That's what's behind the thing. And that influences and affects this knowledge. At the back of the meaning of the word, it influences and affects the conduct of the person that has come to this place of knowledge.
Is this knowledge
I would say the latter. So you have to say the thing. I wonder if you're in the huff. If you're jealous, I'm up here, I'll change places in it.
And the subject then is concluded at the point. And we know and have believed, this is experience, the love which God had in our case.
That's
a very marginal reading, but it has a lot of authority. It's in our case.
Of course, isn't that normal experience, Brother Peyton, that it should be have known and have believed? If there is really no divine revelation as to the person, there is no confidence in the believer.
Aye, that's good.
So the two are linked together here.
Oh, the rise and fall together. You can't have. But what was Bill pointed out? That one was arrived at the knowledge, regressive knowledge, continual knowledge, intimate knowledge, knowledge that affected the person who believes. That's it. And an enjoyment, no, a cold fact. I think this is further along the road, but that would be the commencement of this. if I could put it that way. Now, I was told, and I didn't do it, being a kind of gracious man, that you should stand up when you speak. Now, I don't like to do it when I'm doing anything, really, for more than one reason. But I was really asked to say that.
Before you leave this section, verses 14 to 16, the subject of dwelling, or as it is revised, abiding, considering that it's a family epistle, you have the father and the son in verse 14, with the son in verse 15, and we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Who do you connect the thought of abiding with an answer to the Lord's Prayer in John 17, where he says, Thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us. The Lord has got joy in our abiding in him.
I think that's a nice connection. I'm always looking for a wee practical turn of things, you know. I'm no despising tenses and all that kind of thing, but my head doesn't carry a lot of that stuff. We make a distinction of the love of God to us and knowing that God is love and that he dwells, he that dwells in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Is there just a slight difference of appreciating the love of God and appreciating the God that loves? God is love. As the proof of this love seen in 9 and 10, he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. 10, he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin.
God's love for us is surely the proof of that. And all love in the essence of the
Spirit. But is the love here not firstly that which is shed abroad in our hearts? It dwells in us, and it must be manifest. It is true that God did love us, but we have love within him. And that is vitally connected with life dwelling in us.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yes, and the idea of what is characteristic of God, God is love, while the other aspect of it is more the thought of communicating it to us.
But God does.
That's right.
Aye. You see, I'm thinking of Jacob that visited the house of God, but then he found the God of the house one the next day. There seemed to be a growing intimacy.
I would have a difficulty. I would really see that the point is that this is God's love indwelling the believer all the way down. And it's in the believer that it's reaching its goal. That it is that difficult section in verse 17, James, I don't want to jump the gun, but herein is not our love. I want
his love.
It's God's love. And it's reaching its goal in us. So that it reaches its goal in us, and this is the thing that gives it real confidence.
But before it reached its goal in us, it was shown to us.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we started.
Oh, certainly.
This is progress along the road. This is growth. This is development. And it's developed because of the indwelling influence of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The motivating power of love manifesting itself in obedience.
Is it consummated then in relation to the day of judgment? In other words, it's communicated to us and it's consummated here in the aspect that there is boldness in the day of judgment.
It's made perfect. That's the word here. Perfect it is, sorry.
That's
up for it.
It's looking forward, but then it's looking not to the judgment, but to the fact of what I see. We thought, as we did, so are we in the first place, which shows up the consciousness. The best member of hell, you have the level cross reaching its goal. I would suggest that verse 17 These are now within consciousness of our body, God is responding to in the inward consciousness of our relationship that's measured in terms of the fact of seeing and so forth.
What do you gather for the term as he is?
Well, when I do that, now you're bringing that to me, I see it as the in my consciousness of the confession that he is the Son of God. And that because of what God has done, I need to return that self and with himself that I have that divine life as being born into a family, moved from there, a child of God. That is, I enjoy consciousness because of what Christ did.
Mm-hmm. And springing from that, this boldness comes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Aye. And springing from that is practical love to a brother.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we really see in these verses? The two things.
Is the cause. And the cause for boldness is his love perfected in us. And the reason for the boldness is as he is. So are we in this world.
Mm-hmm.
As he is presently in all that he is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Not that as he is, that is Christ before the Father, in the Father's presence, and
I think that the subject for me, it develops on to show that we are here now in the world to live as he lived and to show the love that has been implanted in our breast, and that gives to us a consciousness of boldness, and we look forward to the day of judgment, but we look totally forward to the trepidation of today.
So I'm asking a representative.
Now, that's the two sides. I take it that, Jim, you're thinking of accepting more.
No, I think it has a consciousness of all that Christ is in you. Your realization of what you can do. And as each son of God that you have just had a confession. But now, upon that, there are those of us who have been brought into this while you have shared the same life. And therefore we are in the consciousness of that,
but ultimately, you'll arrive at a suitability in Christ. Yes. And the other side is, it's rather representing Christ here.
Yeah.
Yeah, God, that's what you said.
Yeah.
There will be no argument about that. Will the others judge? I noticed that there's a difference. As he is. I notice that difference.
But isn't the idea behind that, Brother Nesbitt, as he is, he's there in all the acceptability of his person and work. Representatively, we find that same acceptance, even though we're in the world, he's in the glory, accepted. We find that here, that same acceptance. I think so. That's what I have.
Boldness in the one verse and absence of fear in the other. This is not connected with guilt, because there's a verse that calms our fears and says that the believers who have eternal life shall not come into judgment. So that we cancel that out. I think I would agree with my friend here. You would link it up with coming events, a session of events, possibly, including the judgment seat, of course. Well, that's true taught elsewhere. Whether it's here, I wouldn't have liked to say. There are 2 points, as he is. Now, I notice that's a difficulty. Not was, but is presently. But there are the two sides taught in the Bible that we are accepted in him, as he is, and we represent him here, as he knows through, so are we now in the world. And these two things would give both. There are no such a limit holds upon. And these two things cancel out fear within our hearts.
The fruit then emphasizes that fear and love cannot exist together.
Yes, sir.
One cancels the other.
Fear and boldness can be together in the context of the verse. I think the boldness and the without fear is the two words. More has been suggested, and both things could be reconciled. It's never more God's love within us made perfect. I think we did say that before his love could be perfected in us, we would need to be in the good of his love towards us. That's what you're saying. That's it. Before his love could be shed abroad, then we would need to know it personally towards us. Now, would we say verse 19?
Mm-hmm. Say a little word on the torment or the punishment of verse 18.
Well, I think it has been stated whether we look at it as our acceptance of Christ or as representing Christ, and that is ministering the same delight to the Father's heart as Christ did, then there's no fear of torment. I think only once more, theologians now keep me right. Matthew 25, and it's translated punishment.
Yeah. Are we satisfied, rather than that a day of judgment is a judgment seat of Christ? I personally think that the day of judgment here, particularly when the sin question and fear has come up in torment, that's going beyond that to give the believer assurance that there is no condemnation.
That he'll not be there.
So I hadn't thought just that. I know we speak about the judgment seat of Christ, but I hadn't thought that the term the day of judgment was really an appropriate term for the judgment seat of Christ.
No, but it's linked with that. There's a session of judgment, isn't it?
Yes, I believe
it. And he's saying that where we come in, I'll not be in the day of condemnation, the day of guilt, the day of punishment, the day of torment. We'll not come in there. Now, there's a very sweet verse, 19, we love him. Disappointed when I noticed him wasn't there. But it's not we love, because the subject's not going to be so much to him. But we love him because he does.
couldn't give a reason for him loving us, but we could give a lot of reason for him loving us. You know, I really enjoyed once when I noticed that Habakkuk 3, I think, I will love them freely to every. That word freely was exactly the same word as without a cause. They hated me without a cause. No cause for my hatred to Christ, and just as little cause for his love to me. Now, that's what we've got there, isn't it? But it's not him. We do love him. But he's really going to speak of love that finds its expression in a wider sphere and similar to him. Yes, some have thought that.
I don't think it's an imperative, really, because I know that about everything as a brother suggested. But it's other, the spontaneous answer to it all. We cannot help loving. Just leave free room for it to love. Wherever it's expressed, in the next section, it will be expressed to that love that we see in our brethren, or it will be expressed in words of God that we cannot see, and we cannot help it. It's not a matter of an exhortation to love. It's just let the thing go out. Leave room for it.
Hebrews 13, let brotherly love. It's almost seen that you just have all the crazy.
And that's it.
What? Because it's already there.
And we appreciate what our brother said.
There is a sense in which love is not, doesn't make demands, but love expects.
The nature of God has been imparted to the believer, it's essential that that is kind of in the world itself. Now you ask for help. There is difficulty later in the following chapter about the brother sinner. Well, now in this next verse, you have the brother hated. John says that he hates, he's a liar and he's not a brother.
That's right.
He said yesterday, if an Irish were a prisoner, if you hate your brother, you're not a brother.
Well, I've really got used to the Irish way yet.
We love them. The love of the verse 17, here in this love, and in the story, I'm wondering if ever that crossed the love here in John is a love, the life that we have before heaven, but surely the love of the John is a success of this love. The love of God.
There's
all his love and his spirit in him, and his spirit. And even at the end of verse 16, God in him. That's how the love of God is here. The love of God is all of them. And he's going to get a very nice God.